tackle this whole chapter tonight, but I just knew it wasn't going to happen. Amen. And if it was, the special business meeting would go till 10 o'clock instead of 9:45. And so I wanted to give you that extra 15 minutes. Amen. Amen. When you find your spot, if you're able, would you stand? Revelation chapter 12, we'll read the first 6 verses and we'll get into our study tonight. The principal actors in God's unfolding drama of redemption. Some principal actors were introduced to tonight and also next week and in the following chapter. Revelation chapter number 12, we'll read the first 6 verses. As is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 6? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Father, we pray now you'd bless your word, Lord, you promised it would not return void. Lord, thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you for your kindness to this church. Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you. Lord, we don't want to be ungrateful for your blessings upon us. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Bless now your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter number 12, you may be seated, thank you. Revelation chapter number 12 is very, very interesting chapter. There's a lot in there. In our last lesson, looking at your introduction on your outline, we examined God's two witnesses. And we came to the conclusion, like many have, hopefully, amen. There are some that believe those two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah, and there's some that believe they're Moses and Elijah, and I just believe they're going to be God's two great, powerful witnesses. And if God wanted to say they were Moses and Elijah, he could have said it real easy. Amen. We know there'll be two great witnesses, and for at least one half of the tribulation, they will prophesy and preach, and then they'll be slain, and the Antichrist and his crowd will rejoice over their slaying, but God gets the last laugh. Amen. God raises them up after 3.5 days and catches them up into heaven. So in Revelation 12, we are introduced to look at five of God's main characters in the book of Revelation. So we are introduced to look at five of God's main characters in the book of Revelation. Here in chapter number 12, there's at least five here. We are introduced to the sun-clothed woman. In verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder or sign, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. That sun-clothed woman, you're going to find out, represents Israel. The great red dragon of verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. We'll take quite a bit of time and look at that great red dragon. You're going to find is Satan. The man-child of Revelation 12:5, the man-child, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and who else could it be but Jesus Christ? Amen. There. And so the man-child. Then we have Michael in verse number 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Michael, the archangel of heaven's host. And then lastly, in verse number 17, the remnant of the woman's seed. The remnant of the woman's seed. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That is tribulation Israel, or Israel during the tribulation. So let's look, if we could, number one, at the wonders. In verses 1 through 6, we see some wonders here that we're going to look at. It's going to pretty much take up our lesson tonight, looking at these wonders. This chapter begins with, if you look at verse number 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." A great wonder in heaven. The Greek word translated wonder is the word semion, sign. Okay? It is used 77 times in your King James Bible. It is translated sign 50 times, miracle 23 times, wonder 3 times, and token 1 time. It is used, guess how many times in Revelation? 7. Just like everything else in Revelation. 7s, amen? God's number of perfection. It is used 7 times in Revelation. It's translated wonder in verses 1 and 3 of chapter 12. It's translated wonders in Revelation 13:13. We'll look at that in a couple of weeks here, talking about the Antichrist and the image of the beast and the false prophet. They'll be able to do wonders, simeons, signs. Then it's also translated miracles 3 times. Also, Revelation 13, talking about the Antichrist, and he'll deceive many by his miracles, his signs. You know, people are always looking for a sign. You know, Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." You know what, folks, listen to me. You don't need a sign. You got the Scriptures. You don't need a sign. The Bible talks about John the Baptist in John 10:41. It says, "And John did no miracle." You know, not one time did John the Baptist ever do a miracle, but he preached the truth of God's Word. Amen? And so we see here it's translated wonder and wonders, miracles and sign, Revelation 15:1. John tells of 3 wonders. Only 2 of them are called wonders. Don't get nervous. I didn't make a mistake. John tells of 3 wonders, signs, and symbols in this passage. We'll look at these 3 wonders. The first thing we see is, the first wonder is the sun-clothed woman. The sun-clothed woman. A woman, verse 1, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Who is this woman? Who is this woman is a question that many expositors have tried to force their opinion on many through the years. Who is this woman is a question that many expositors have tried to force their opinion on many through the years. Some have said that this woman is the Virgin Mary. There's a certain denomination headquartered in Italy. I won't give you their name, but you can figure it out. That says that this woman is the Virgin Mary. And could we figure out very quickly that they would have an agenda in saying that? Maybe that Mary never sinned? Maybe that Mary was a perpetual virgin? You could see her up in heaven, therefore she could be your mediator? That's false. All false. Okay? But there are some that say that. Some that say that this woman is the church. And that has a little bit more to it. The church is referred to as a woman. She's referred to as a chaste virgin, the bride of Christ. However, let us remember that Jesus Christ gave birth to the church, not the other way around. Amen? There are others, and this one's a classic. See, Mary Baker Eddy Patterson Glover. Some people believe, and it was first Mary Baker Eddy that believed this. You say, who is that? That is the founder of Christian Scientists, which is neither Christian nor scientific. And she said that this this woman was her. I think maybe she is the Scarlet Woman instead of this woman clothed with the sun, and that organized religion possibly could have been the Red Dragon. And I like what H.A. Ironside here, and I had to give you his quote here. It said, "I need not take up the time of sane people with this argument. Foolish, amen. D, I believe that this woman is Israel. Israel. And you say, why do you believe that, Pastor? Well, we have the observed prophecy in Genesis chapter 37. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. You're on page 2 there. The observed prophecy. Here we have a prophecy about the nation of Israel in Genesis chapter number 37. We see something interesting, and we'll cross-reference it with Romans. We'll go over to Romans chapter 9 if you want to hold your place there. It says there in Genesis number 37 in verse 9, he says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon. Remember, here's this woman. She's clothed with the sun and has the moon under her feet. And 11 stars made obeisance to me. Okay? Now, of course, we know here that Joseph is talking about his 11 brothers, the 11 other tribes of Israel, bowing down to him. Verse 10, and he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him and said, what is thy dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You say, what is that prophecy? That Israel would be preserved. And God used Joseph to do it. Now go over, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. You say, why did, and obviously it's a bigger question than this, why did God preserve Israel? Well, there's several purposes, obviously. But Romans chapter 9 and verses 4 and 5, if we could say this, give us the chief purpose of why God preserved this Israel and observed this prophecy. Romans chapter 9 verse 4 says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and glory and covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this woman that gives birth to the man-child that is to rule all the nations, I believe is Israel, of whom Christ came. You say, why again do you believe it's Israel? I believe, A, the observed prophecy. Secondly, B, the delivered child. Go back to Revelation 12, the delivered child. And it says there, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Just a couple pages back, in Hebrews chapter number 2, we find out who this man-child was and of what he came. In verse 16 says of Hebrews 2, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. You see, Jesus Christ came forth out of Israel. He was born a Jew. His mother was a Jew. Amen. And so we come to this point here where we have the observed prophecy that I believe proves that this is Israel. I believe the delivered child preserves that it's Israel. And I believe also the endured persecution proves that this woman is Israel. You say, where is that? Look at verse 6 of Revelation 12. Verse 6, it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. It's a mystery to me why God loves Israel. It's a mystery. It really, really is, folks. Listen, I'm not speaking out of turn here. If you've ever had to deal in business with a Jewish person, they're very difficult people. It's okay to say that. We're in a church, amen? They're very difficult people. And I've known some Jewish Christians. By the way, somebody as well said, I think it was Hyman Appleman who was a Jewish Christian. He said, I'll take one Jewish Christian for every 10 Gentile Christians. They love the Lord. They know what it is to endure persecution. Hyman Appleman, when he told his family they were Christians, they had a funeral for him. A funeral. All done. So it's a mystery to me why God loves Israel, but He protects them here in the tribulation. Look at verses 13 through 17. It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings as a great eagle, she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years again, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth as water as a flood after the woman, and he might cause her to be carried away in the flood, and the earth helped the woman. You say, what's going on here? Listen, when Satan is finally, we're going to look at it next week, when Satan is finally kicked out of heaven, you know, Satan still has access to heaven. We'll look at that next week. Just like in Job, when the sons of God used to come before God, and Satan was also with him. But there's going to come a day where God says, I've had enough. And when that happens, Satan knows he has a short time, and he is persecuting Israel. Persecuting. So, number one, we have the sun-clothed woman. Number two, we have the great red dragon. The great red dragon. The second wonder is interpreted as a picture of Satan himself. It's a picture, it's a sign. What is Satan like? It gives the reader a snapshot of what he is like. You say, Pastor, how do you know for sure that it's Satan? I mean, we talked last week that we weren't sure that it was Moses and Elijah, those two witnesses. Well, look at verses 7 through 9 of our text. It says, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against who? The dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So wherever this dragon is, he fights against Michael, and he's got angels with him. Okay? And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore. And the great dragon was cast out. Now here you go. Bible interpretation 101, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Okay? So we know at the beginning it's a great red dragon. Who is this dragon? He's that old serpent from Genesis chapter 3. Amen. He's the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. It very plainly teaches here that this great red dragon is Satan. And he is seen as, or with, we have a few things here. A, the first thing he's seen as is great. Great. Okay? That doesn't mean great like we would think wonderful, but rather powerful. Like Michael, one must be respectful of Satan's power. I had a good friend of mine on the internet the other day. He put on his website, or on Facebook, he said, Pastor John, he said, gonna pick a fight with the devil tomorrow. And I sent back him a response, and it said, careful, Jude chapter 1, verse 9. You know, the Bible says Michael is the only one in the Bible called an archangel. He's the only one. Now, there can be all kinds of debates whether Lucifer was or not. That's fine. The Bible says there's one. And he durst not bring a railing accusation when he came to Satan, but rather said, the Lord rebuke thee. Jude, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. Why is that? Because Satan is powerful. He's not to be played with, folks. He's not to be called all kinds of names. You can call him the Bible names, amen. But don't play around with the devil, both figuratively and literally. Don't play around with the devil. He's powerful. So he's called great here. He's also called red. Red. If you remember back in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, if you want to go there with me, we find in verse 4, the second seal that was open, and the second rider, and he wrote, it says, and there went out another horse that was, you guessed it, red. Red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that he should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Some think, and I tend to agree, that the reason he's not only a great dragon, but he's a red dragon, is it has to do with his murderous nature. You know, the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, John chapter 8, verse 44. W.A. Criswell says of Satan here, his whole trail is steeped in blood. Whole trail of Satan. So he's great. He's red. He's also called a dragon. A dragon. The dragon is a terrible, ferocious, and vicious beast. It's terrible, ferocious, and vicious. And so is Satan. The next three we combine here, a little quote underneath. He's said to have seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. We'll deal with this in Revelation chapter number 13, these heads and crowns, horns. He is seen by John as having seven heads. Seven speaks of completeness and the head of wisdom. Ezekiel 28:12 says, Thou wast perfect, sealed up, full of wisdom, talking about Satan. His ten horns and seven crowns upon his head speak of his usurped authority. Our Lord called him the prince of this world three different times. Speaks of his usurped authority. That he is right now the prince of this world, but ladies and gentlemen, very, very soon the King of Kings is going to put that prince under his feet. Amen? So, something else he's seen doing, or here, he's great, he's red, he's a dragon, seven heads, ten horns, seven crowns, drawing the third part of the stars of heaven. This is a reference to one third of the angels' stars. Remember that? The star that fell in Revelation 9:1. And then also, Job 38:7 says, when God created the earth, the morning stars sang together, who followed Satan in rebellion. One third of the angels followed Satan in rebellion, and you follow their trail from verse 4 to verse number 7 in Revelation 12, and there was war with heaven and Michael and his angels. Okay? So he draws the, and I for the life of me still can't imagine what would cause an angel to make that one time decision to believe Satan, but they did, and they followed him. No, letter H there on the back page. He's seen as casting the third part of the stars to the earth. Satan's angels have done and continue to do his dirty work on earth. You know, very, very rarely does a person do battle with Satan himself. He's got all kinds of imps that do his work. Lots of them. Amen? Lots of them. So many things with Satan's fingerprints on it. And so he casts the third part of the stars to earth. We see him being ready to devour the child of the woman. And this is just a fascinating study. We just have time to skim the surface of this tonight. But ever since Genesis 3:15 was penned, and I want you to hold your place there in Revelation and go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is the first prophecy in the Bible of a Redeemer that would be born. A Redeemer. Genesis chapter 3. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 was penned, what's so important about that verse, Pastor? It's an important verse. He says here to the serpent, look at verse 14, and this is obviously where we've had, if we could, Adam and Eve have played hide and seek, and then they played the blame game, amen? And then God begins to pronounce judgment upon all parties involved. And he starts with the serpent, the devil, we learn. And look in verse 14, it said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now look at this. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," speaking of the serpent's seed, the Antichrist, "and her seed." By the way, ladies, we have got young people here, so we won't get too anatomical. Ladies don't have a seed. The seed is provided by man. See, but it says here, her seed. It's a prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ here. And then it says, "And it shall bruise thy head." That happened at Calvary. The devil bruised Jesus' head at Calvary. But it says, "And thou shalt bruise his heel." I'm sorry. "That it shall bruise thy head," meaning the Son of God would bruise the seed of Satan for good, bruising the head. "And thou shalt bruise his heel." That happened at Calvary. Excuse me. Something interesting here. Look at your outline if you would. Ever since Genesis 3:15 was penned, Satan has been trying to destroy, pollute, or break the line of the woman's seed. He's been trying to do that. And I just give a few examples here. There's so many more, but a fascinating study here. The first person that the devil tried to use to do that was somebody named Cain. Cain murdered his brother. The second, I believe, we find instance of that is the corrupt sons of God. The sons of God, the angels that left their first estate, saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And all of a sudden, this race of giants was born and so polluted the race that God flooded the earth. Somebody else that the devil tried to use but didn't was somebody named Esau. Remember? Jacob had got the birthright, so now it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what did old Esau say? He said, you know what? I'm going to kill my brother when I get the chance. When the days of mourning are done for my dad, I'm going to kill him. And listen, who is behind every murder? The devil, Satan, amen. Trying to break that line. Trying to break that line. Pharaoh, in number four there, fourth bullet point, Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 1. Tried to break the line. How did he try to do that? Tried to wipe out all the Jewish boy babies. Remember? Cast them into the river, he said. But the midwives feared God. Praise the Lord for that. The mixed multitude of Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. How the devil tried to get them in there and corrupt the seed. Somebody else unwittingly. And many times people serve the devil unwittingly. Sometimes good people serve the devil unwittingly. Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, listen, David had been anointed king, and Saul knew it. And what did he do? He took a javelin, and he tried to run David through. That would have broke the line, folks. That would have broke the line. Jehoram, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 4, slew all the seed royal, all his brothers, slew all those of his father's house, and took the king. How about, remember this one in 2 Kings chapter 11, Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah. She did the same thing. Slew all the seed royal. Terrible. How Satan inspired that. How many of you remember this in Esther chapter 3? Haman. Haman. What was he trying to do? He's trying to wipe out all the Jews. Sounds like Satan to me. Amen. And then the last person we find, and there are more, you can find more of these instances, but we find Herod in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, literally trying to wipe out Christ. Literally. And of course he wasn't there. God had told him to flee to Egypt. So we see here that he has ever been ready to devour the man-child. And number three, we see the man-child born. The man-child born. There in verses 5 and 6 of Revelation chapter 12, we looked at it. Let me read you, if I could, Genesis chapter number 12, verse 3. And it says there in Genesis 12, 3, speaking of the Abrahamic covenant, God speaking to Abraham, he said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You say, how did that happen, Pastor? It's easy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 tells how the seed of Abraham blessed the entire earth. It says, "The book of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." He came out of Abraham, the line of Abraham. The child born of the woman is Jesus Christ on your outline. This man-child that is going to rule all the nations is Jesus Christ. And I love this. He has survived every attack of the dragon upon him. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave by his victorious resurrection. And all God's people said, amen. And very soon, he will assume his rightful place as king upon the throne of David, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Amen, amen, and amen. We looked at these principal actors tonight. Praise the Lord for this wonderful study. I'm so glad that Jesus is victorious. By the way, if you read a little further on in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 tells you how you can overcome the devil too. And I won't have time next week to really deal with it, but it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's number one. That's the only way you can overcome Satan. Through Jesus Christ and His blood and His sacrifice. By the word of their testimony. This is it right here. Amen. And then it says, and they love not their own lives unto death. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Pray that you'd bless now in our invitation hymn, Lord, our Lord, just wonderful encouraging hymn. And then as we have our special business meeting tonight, Lord, we pray for your blessing upon all of it, Lord. We love you and thank you. Thank you so much for this passage to know you've conquered that great red dragon. And we can too, Lord, through you, through your help. We pray that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.